The Publix Radio presents Season 2 of the award-winning audio play, God Talks to an Agnostic, created and produced by the Wilbury Theater Group in collaboration with AFRI Productions with support from Brown Arts Institute. God Talks to an Agnostic is a 12-part audio play written and directed by Don Mays.
Morning, Metro Police. Chief Daniel speaking.
Mike, it's Gavin. Reverend Smith.
It's awful early in the morning, Reverend. Are you okay? Is everything okay?
I'm fine, thanks. It's not me. One of our congregants, her daughter, is missing.
How long has she been missing?
It's been about 12, 14 hours.
How old is she?
She's an adult, and I
understand... An adult? 12 hours is not really something that we can...
I understand your protocol, but I'm asking if you can, as a personal favor to me, if you can just look into it. It is very uncharacteristic of this young woman.
Reverend... I understand the concern, but these things usually turn out to be... I mean, she's a grown woman. She's probably just...
Yes, I know, and I hope you're right. But I'm here with Mrs. Baxter.
Baxter? Baxter? What is that name? Ugh. Is she...
Yes, Mike. So, yes, we'd really appreciate your help here.
Yes, Reverend. Okay, yes, Reverend. I'll check around. I haven't heard anything here, but, see what I can find out.
Thank you, Mike. Really appreciate it.
Sure thing, Reverend. I'll be in touch. Damn it. Are you kidding me? Hey, come here.
Yeah, Chief, what's up?
I need you to do something for me. No one else needs to know. Go pull the Baxter file.
Baxter? You mean the one with the kid?
Yes, that one.
But I thought that case was supposed to be...
Just shut up and do it. Go! Damn it!
It is approaching 24 hours that Baxter's been missing. None of us can make sense of it. Nothing about this makes sense. All of her stuff is here, her cell, her car keys, even her shoes. Zena said she didn't have on shoes when they were sitting on the porch steps. And the shoes she had been wearing are in her bedroom. This is not like Robin. No one knows that better than Mrs. Baxter. She's clinging to hope, desperately clinging to hope. It helps that so many people have rallied around her. Everyone kind of stopped their lives to be here with her. She's sitting on the couch, flanked by my mother and Mrs. Smith. Addie stepped up to keep us all nourished, cooking enough to feed the small gathered army. Zena, trying to make herself useful, bouncing from helping Addie in the kitchen to hugging and holding Mrs. Baxter's hand. Ma and Mrs. Smith, as mothers too, their presence, in and of itself, is a comfort. And selfishly, I appreciate Reverend Davis being here the most. He has this strong presence that, at the same time, exudes strength and calm. Not only is that comforting to Mrs. B, but it also keeps Reverend White... Reverend Smith in check. I promised Baxter I wouldn't call them that. I've been good, but it is her fault.
You don't even try to be subtle anymore.
What?
Don't what me.
Ouch, what'd you do that for? Don't pinch me.
Oh boy, you know that didn't hurt.
See,
but if you...
Violence.
You want to see violence? Do you? Do you?
See, just being around them brings out the violence in you.
No. Mm-hmm. You abandoning me, leaving me stuck in there with Reverend and Mrs. White. You sneaking out here to your little escape. No. You don't even sneak anymore. You just be like, I'm out. Whoosh. And you're gone. I mean, what are you going to do in the winter, huh? You going to sit out here on the porch in the snow?
Yo, if I have to, I mean... Snow won't be nearly as bad as...
Oh, wait. What'd you just say? What did you call them?
What are you talking about?
You said... Did you say Reverend White?
What?
Oh, now who's whatting who?
No.
Yes, you said Reverend White. Reverend
no,
and Mrs.
You can't.
White. That's
Look,
what
knew
you called them.
I knew it.
It's
I knew
perfect.
It.
That's perfect.
The last thing I need...
I can't believe I didn't think of it.
The last thing I need is you.
Oh,
I mean,
perfect.
If you start calling them that, I'm going to slip and...
They are. They are. That's so
please,
perfect.
Please.
So
you can't.
Perfect.
You can't.
So white.
Stop. 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 I knew it. I knew I'd slip up one day.
That's hilarious. How long have you been calling them that?
First day I met them. Duh.
Oh, that's hilarious.
I mean,
that's
look perfect. At them. What else are you going to call them?
And you've been able to keep it from me for that long? That's impressive, girl.
Well, because I knew you'd be just like this. And you'd start calling them that. And then one day I'd slip up. And it wouldn't be you. Mm-mm, it wouldn't. I'd be the one who'd slip up and call them that to their faces.
But it's perfect. You gotta admit it's perfect. Reverend and Mrs. White, it is perfect.
No. Look, you gotta promise me. You can't start calling them that. Promise.
Okay.
Promise me.
Okay.
No. Say it.
Okay. I promise. Okay, I promise. I promise.
You have to.
Okay, I said I promise. I promise.
Oh, it is perfect, though.
It's so perfect.
I mean, they couldn't be more white if their names were Ward and June.
Who?
Seriously?
Nah, who's Ward and June?
Cleaver? Ward and June Cleaver?
Who?
Seriously? You don't know the Leave It to Beaver? Look it up.
I've been good so far. No slip-ups by me, or Baxter for that matter. And again, they're good to Mrs. B, so Mrs. B called them last night, and they've been here the entire time, the whole day. They mean well. We've all been here all day. It's times like these when the gift of Addie being Addie is so wonderful.
Hey, everybody.
Nobody can read a room like Addie. She can read it and then make the proper assessment of whatever is needed to lighten the tone, change the mood, or clear out the room. Most often, she does it with humor. To shut down a party, Addie will, and it's cliche, but she will call out,
"All right, y'all know what's up? You ain't got to go home. Y'all know the drill. Say it with me. But you got to get the hell up out of here."
That's why it's all the more impressive when, like tonight, she's able to say,
"Listen, we're all tired. It's been a long day. I know Mrs. B appreciates everyone being here for her. I know it's been a comfort. She's exhausted. Y'all all exhausted, and it's not doing anyone any good sitting here like this. Zena's gonna spend the night. Be here, just in case."
She turns to me.
"You'll be here too, right?"
"Yes, I'm staying."
Good. If anybody, she'll contact one of them. The rest of us, we need to go home. We can check in the morning. Come back with fresh brains. Reverend Davis, will you send us off with a prayer?"
"Of course."
"Amen. Thank you."
"Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, once again, we come to you with bowed heads and hearts that are not heavy, Heavenly Father, but hopeful. Heavenly Father, we know all power is in your hands, and we trust in you to lift us when we are burdened."
As Reverend Davis prays, I look around the room at the bowed and nodding heads. Like in church, Ma, Addie, and Mrs. Baxter are the response to his calls.
Your grace.
I see Reverend Smith, head bowed, turns it on its axis. He opens his eyes and looks at me as if to say, "You're not leaving?" My expression does not change.
"Heavenly Father,
he closes his eyes again and turns back to his bowed position.
We ask you,
I continue to listen to Reverend Davis. These words, this prayer is exactly what's needed in this room right now. He's reaching, connecting with the people in this room in the exact manner that they need. The gentle rising and softening of his voice carries the passion of his words. I can literally see, feel the heaviness dissipate. Even the tears that squeeze through Mrs. Baxter's closed eyes seem to give her some relief. I feel the power of this moment, the power of his prayer. I have no sense of what it's connected to outside of this room, but here in this room, I acknowledge its power."
Let us all say, in Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, my head. I need Wait, what is this? Where am I? What is this place? Why am I wearing... Where are my clothes? Hey? Oh. Nauseous. What's happening to me? Hey? Hello? Somebody? I need help. I don't feel well. Is anybody there? What is this place? Where am I? Hey? Hey! Is anybody?
Hi. How are you feeling?
Like crap.
Yes, you've had a rough few days.
Few days? What the hell? Few days? Where the hell am I? Why am I here?
You were brought in for observation.
What the hell is going on? Who brought me here?
What's your name, honey? Do you know your name?
The hell kind of question is that? Of course I know my name.
Can you tell me?
My name is... What the hell did you people do to me?
You're here so we can help you.
No. This isn't helpful. This isn't help. You're not helping me. I knew my name before I came here. I knew my name. I knew everything about me. And now I... What is this place? What have you done to me?
Let me give you something to help you calm down.
No. You're not giving me crap. No. Get away from me. Get away. I want somebody I know. I don't want you. I want somebody I know.
Who? Who do you want?
I want.
If you can tell me your name, we can get someone here for you.
This is crazy. It's crazy. It makes no sense. It makes absolutely no sense. I know who I am. How long have I been here?
2 days.
Who brought me here?
You were brought here in a rescue truck by paramedics.
Why? I'm not sick. I'm not hurt. Why would they do that to me?
We just want to help.
Stop saying that. You're not helping. You're not. Can you just go? Please. Please, just leave me alone so I can collect my thoughts. I need to think. Please, can you just go? Please.
Yes, of course. I'm right down the hall if you need me.
2 days? 2 days? I've been here for 2 days and I still don't know where here is. Some kind of hospital, but which one? And why am I in the hospital anyhow? I'm not sick. Well, not sick. A headache and nausea. No one goes to the hospital for that. 2 days? And why can't I remember anything?
Yes, come in.
Hey, Chief. I found something. Jane Doe was picked up a few nights ago.
Is she in lockup?
Nah, Chief. She's at the hospital. Psych ward.
Who picked her up?
Let's see. Dix. Officer.
Where is he?
He's not here. It's his day off.
Get him in here. Find him! Tell him to meet me at the hospital. Now!
Chief Daniels.
Yes?
You're here about Jane Doe.
Yes. Describe her to me.
Female. Black, late 20s, early 30s.
What's her condition?
She's lucid, but she's got some memory loss, headache, nausea, not eating. Minor abrasions probably occurred during her apprehension.
You give her a tox screen?
Nothing in her system except ketamine.
Who gave her ketamine?
Paramedics. At the insistence of your officer.
Hey, Chief, I'm here. What's up?
All of her symptoms could be the reaction to the ketamine.
Where is she?
Psych.
Take us to her.
One more thing, Chief. She's pregnant.
God damn it. Dix! Damn it!
There she is. She is definitely not homeless. Her memory will start to come back any time now. She's pretty.
How long can you keep her here?
Keep her here? That's not our goal. We want to find her family.
Right. Okay, thanks.
What are you doing?
I'm taking a picture of her to see if I can ID her.
Okay, but...
I know.
I'm right down the hall. Let me know if you need anything else.
Yes, thank you. The person in that room, did you pick her up?
Yeah, that looks like her, a few nights ago.
Reverend Smith, this is Chief Daniels. I texted you a photo, it's confidential, so please do not share it or any information with anyone. Just let me know if this is the woman you're looking for. Okay, Dix, talk me through it. Tell me what happened.
Okay, yeah, let's see. I was on patrol. It was raining like crazy. I see this whacked out woman babbling to herself in the park.
Someone called it in? You were responding to a call?
No, I was in the area, driving through the park, and I...
What park?
Lovature Park.
Lovature Park?
Yes.
God damn it, Dix! What the hell were you doing over there?
I was just...
What happened?
I was in the area, so I drove by the park.
Ancestor, I am here.
I'm here.
So good to hear your voice.
You sound surprised.
I am. Not surprised, but I'm still a little unsure. Each time I think maybe it's not real, maybe I won't hear you or you won't hear me.
If you open, you'll hear.
That's comforting.
You are in need of comforting.
Well, I mean, I was just saying that I...
No, that was not a question.
I see this woman in the rain, half naked, babbling to herself. As I approach her, I could tell she was whacked out on something. I'm calling, Miss, are you okay? Let me help you. She's not responding.
There was no one else around?
No, Chief. It was raining like crazy.
Was she hurting herself?
No.
Was she exhibiting any erratic behavior?
No. She was just babbling, like she was having a conversation. I immediately called for backup. She was so zoned out, I don't think she could hear me. As I approached her, I kept calling.
Yes, ancestors. So much has changed in my life, I can't wrap my head around it.
Miss, are you okay? I need you to respond to me.
I fear for my mother more than for myself.
The paramedics got there real fast, which was a good thing.
She's convinced that she needs to forgive that monster.
She was saying some really crazy stuff.
He is a monster. He'll live and be free, grow old.
I need you to answer me. Miss, can you hear me?
And nothing. Nothing's going to change that.
And as soon as I touched her, she freaked.
Ancestor! What is that? Did you feel that?
She was swinging and flailing. I couldn't control her. I needed both paramedics to help me restrain her.
What are you doing? Please, stop! You're hurting me!
You're 6'3", 240. You couldn't control this skinny little...
I'm telling you, Chief. Whatever she was hyped on, she was strong as a bull.
She wasn't hyped up. She wasn't on anything. The only thing they found in her system was the ketamine that you ordered.
I swear, Chief.
Why were you even there? Goddamn Lovature Park. Why were you there? Do you know who this is? Do you even know?
That was the thing. She wouldn't tell us anything. She was so out of it, she couldn't even...
Of all the people. All people. You are so goddamn clueless, Dix. You're damn clueless.
Why? Who is she?
Try the sister of the kid you killed last year in that same goddamn park.
What the hell? No way. You gotta be kidding.
Stop, Reverend, don't say anything. Meet me at the station in a half hour. Meet me at the station.
Sorry, Chief.
Go! Goddamn clueless.
Hey, Chief, Reverend Smith here to see you.
Let him in.
Hello, Mike. Thank you for finding her. This is...
Gavin. Reverend Smith, you remember Officer Dix?
Yes, Officer Dix. How are you?
I'm okay. Thanks, Reverend.
So, Mike, you found her. Where is she? Let's get her back to her mother.
Slow down. Slow down, Gavin. It's a bit complicated.
What? Is she in trouble? What's going on?
We found her. I know where she is. The thing is...
What's going on, Mike? Where is she?
At the hospital. In the psych ward.
Psych ward? What the... Why the hell is she in a psych ward, for crying out loud? Who put her there?
This is the thing, Gavin.
Doesn't matter. Let's get her now. I can vouch for her. Have her mother there in minutes. The poor woman's going crazy.
Gavin, please calm down.
Do you know what this woman has gone through? Of course you do. That's why we need to...
Yes, I do. That's why you need to listen to me. He picked her up. Officer Dix. You do remember who Officer Dix is, right?
Officer... Oh, crap.
Yeah.
You've got to be kidding me.
I'll explain the situation, but I need you to work with me.
We have to get her out of there.
now.
Hold up. Hold up now. This could blow up in our faces in a thousand different ways, none of them good. In there, she's safe, being taken care of. She doesn't even know who she is, for Christ's sake.
What?
I'll explain. She'll be fine, but you gotta hold off. Don't let anyone know. I need you to work with me. Will you do that?
Addie, Charlie, y'all didn't have to come here this early. Nobody's even up.
You're up.
And it looks like you didn't sleep at all.
I nodded a few times.
Obviously no news, huh?
Nah.
I brought stuff to make breakfast.
Thanks, Addie.
Come on.
So, what are you thinking? What do you think happened?
It's just so out of character for her. I mean, I don't want to think the worst, but
no,
I just...
No. We're going to keep it positive. We put it in God's hands. Reverend Davis's prayer last night was so powerful. It's in God's hands now. By his grace, I know Robin's going to be all...
Hey, you ask him, her.
What?
What?
God, ask God. You talk to God. Ask her where Robin is.
I can't.
Why? Why not?
Because she can't.
Why not? Is it some kind of third dimension break the time loop barrier or something?
Do you even know what you just said?
No, but why can't you ask?
Because that's not how it works. She's not like that. She's not this omnipotent thing like people believe, all seeing, all knowing, all...
Then what makes her God?
What makes... I mean, she does know. Well, what she knows is...
Wait, how do you know she's God? Or do you know she's God?
Yes. I mean...
How do you know? Did you ask her? Did she ever say it? I'm God? Did she tell you she's God?
No, she didn't. But she wouldn't. That's not how... Not how she...
So, how do you know? How do you know she's God?
Oh, my head is spinning. This coming from Charlie, the spiritually awakened or cult awakened Charlie, challenging me the way I usually challenge others who are attached to their religion.
Come on, bruh. God is God. You know this stuff if you really believe.
If I really believed? What are you talking?
Answer the question. How do you know?
I only know. Look, what's this got to do with finding Robin, huh? That's where my focus is. That's it. That's what we should be thinking about.
That's what I'm trying to do.
Well, asking me if I really know it's God that's talking to me is not...
I'm asking you to talk to her. Ask her if she can help.
First of all, I can't right now.
Why not?
Because it's not raining.
Right. Right.
God Talks to an Agnostic is written and directed by Don Mays, with music and sound design by Andy Russ, with music contributions by Ashley Frith and The Culmination Group with Edgar Diaz, and production management by Natalie Rosario, Melly Hayes, and Allison Marchetti. The show features performances by Don Mays, Rose Weaver, Jackie Davis, Rudy Rue Cabrera, Pamela Lambert, Daraja Hines, Jason Quinn, Jeff Hodge, Tanya Montenegro, Scylla Bento, Brianna K. Rosario, Mindy Brito, Brian Lang, Christian Mancinas Garcia, Susie Santana, Len Cabral, Teddy Lytle, Jennifer Mishley, Angelique Dina, Lorraine Guerra, Becky Davis, and Gunnar Manchester. God Talks to an Agnostic is produced by the Wilbury Theater Group in collaboration with AFRI Productions, with support from Brown Arts Institute, and presented by the Publix Radio. All episodes of God Talks to an Agnostic were recorded at the Granoff Center for the Arts at Brown University in Providence, Rhode Island. View the complete list of available episodes on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. To find out more about the show or to learn more about how you can support our work, visit us online at thewilburygroup.org.